Let me read a few scriptures to you and just share some things about the resurrection and the resurrected Christ that's kind of ministered to me this morning in our prayer time. This is from Acts chapter 1. The first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day when he was taken up, after he had by the Holy Spirit given orders for the apostles whom he had chosen. To these he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. Then the scripture from 1 Corinthians 15. This is verse 3 of 1 Corinthians 15. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. And he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. And after that, he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time. Most of them remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. And then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, as if it were to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. I wanted to read these particular scriptures because they all talked about Jesus revealing himself, appearing in his post-resurrection condition, that he came, even though the two from the Emmaus Road were sharing what they knew, they were sharing what they had experienced, they were sharing what they had heard, what they had experienced, and yet Jesus, while they're sharing that with the apostles and those who are with the apostles in the upper room, then Jesus shows up. We know that when Jesus showed up and spoke to the women on the road after they left the tomb, even though they had been told by the angel to go tell the apostles, the disciples, that Jesus was risen, they became too afraid. And Jesus encountered them and spoke to them. He appeared to Peter. He appeared to Mary Magdalene. Then again, as this account in 1 Corinthians, he appeared to 500. He appeared to the 12. He appeared to James, his half-brother. He appeared to Paul on the Damascus Road. And I love what it says in that Acts chapter 1 passage. And to these, the apostles, he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. Now that verse is speaking about the apostles, the foundation. The apostles and the prophets are the foundation of the church, the scripture says. And this was the inner circle. We talked about this a little bit Sunday, is that this was like if you were to put whoever your spiritual heroes are, you know, is it Heidi Baker or Bill Johnson or Randy Clark or somebody else in the charismatic world? Was it Ian Thomas? Like, these were the most spiritual ones. This was the elite. And yet it says that Jesus appeared to them again and again, and he uses the term, by many convincing proofs. That's amazing to me. And if you go back and you read in the Gospels over and over again, not just by the testimony that people gave, they didn't believe what the women said. They weren't believing what the two guys on Emmaus Road were saying. They didn't believe what Mary said. As a matter of fact, they used the terms like, what you're saying is just nonsense. But even as Christ appeared to them, they struggled with believing. And at the very end, before he commissioned them in Galilee to go and share the gospel to all the world, making disciples, it says about them that some were still doubting, which is encouraging to me. It's amazing to me, but I certainly don't want to stand back and judge. These were the elite. These were the great spiritual heroes in the 2,000-year history. These were the apostles. They struggled to believe. But what impresses me about the Lord, the resurrected Christ here, is that people did bear witness of him. The angel told the women. The women told the people, told the disciples, the others, that Jesus had appeared to them. The angel had appeared to them and told them about Christ. Mary had said stuff to them. So others had shared their testimony of their experience. But Jesus knew that his believers, isn't that funny, we're called believers, yet we struggle with doubt so much, needed encounters with the risen Christ over and over and over again to sustain their faith in a world at war, a cosmic conflict that has winner-take-all consequences. That's important. And the point being is this. It's good to hear what somebody else like me or somebody else is talking to you about Jesus and about what God has shown them and about even their encounters with the Lord. But what each of us need and what Jesus loves to do is encounter us and to present himself alive to us again and again. I find that this is the part that just stokes my spiritual furnace all the time. Because the enemy, I know that when we talk about the Eucharist sometimes, we'll talk about it being like the serpent's antidote. The early church talked about it being the bread of immortality. And that the enemy's like this serpent who's always biting us in this warfare that we walk through every day. And Eucharist is one of the things that God uses as an antidote to the enemy's bites, his anti-venom. But what's happened sometimes in some circles, sacramental circles, the Eucharist becomes a substitution for encounters. And the only place people can see him and encounter him is in the Eucharist. And that's sad. Because there are other ways he wants us to encounter him. And you certainly can encounter him in the Eucharist. The guys on the road to Emmaus, when they broke bread together, their eyes were open. So the Lord leaves us that story. But the other times when Jesus appeared, it wasn't always in that context. And the reason that we posture ourselves before the Lord, the reason we do what we call quiet time, and I've always laughed about that, it's the most unquiet thing I ever do. My time alone with the Lord is really noisy. His voice is like thunder. There's worship, and there's weeping, and there's prayers, and there's shouting, and there's all kinds of stuff. It's not quiet at all, because every time I get with him, it's a priority to him to encounter me and to once again present himself alive to me as the resurrected Jesus and what that means to me personally in my walk with him. Sometimes I think that it says in Galatians 2 that I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. That's resurrection. I'm crucified with Christ. That's death. Nevertheless I live. That's resurrection. But not me, but Christ who lives in me. And the language there is the word living. It's in the present tense. I'm crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. There's a new me in whom Christ lives, and he's alive, living in me all the time, whether you and I are conscious of it. And I believe that one of the things that has to happen for a person to really get that is that they have to have an encounter with the Lord where Jesus presents himself alive to them personally. And they discover for themselves that the risen Christ is alive and active in them and prepared to live out his life as the resurrected Christ in the power of his resurrection. And I have to have those kind of encounters over and over again, where Jesus just comes and reveals himself to me personally as the risen Christ and speaks to me again and again. Not just about him living his life in me, but just the wonders of the encounter of his presence. Because if the apostles needed that, during that 40-day period, he appeared to them many times with many convincing proofs. You mean the apostles had to keep being convinced that Jesus was alive and he was risen and that made all the difference in the world for them personally? Yes. Yes. This is the apostles. And Chuck and you have to put ourselves in position because Christ longs to encounter us. These stories should tell us that he wasn't okay with just other people telling you about him or other people telling you about their experience with him. He was important to him that these people encountered him personally, the risen Christ. And so in this season that we're in, we want to draw from everybody we can. Thank God for teachers and mentors and spiritual directors and brothers and accountability partners and all those kind of things. And we can encounter the Lord through that. But the Lord wants you. He met Peter alone. He met with those few women. He met with just the two on the Emmaus Road. He met with James alone. Though that's the only place in 1 Corinthians that we're told that. He met with Paul. Everybody else was blinded. Everybody else, they didn't know. They just heard noise, but they didn't know what it was. We need Jesus, and we don't need to be embarrassed about that. We need encounters. And my prayer today is that in this word, you'll have an encounter. I know that every time we take Eucharist, we encounter. But God wants you alone with him and give him an opportunity to present himself alive to you again and again. That excites his heart. And it excites his heart that you need that because God wants to be wanted. It's one of the primary principal truths of our relationship with God. God wants to be wanted. when it says in the cross that Jesus thirsts. It's not just that he thirsts to heal fallen and broken humanity, but he also thirsts for us, not just to receive his love, but to love him back, to want him at the same level he wants us. And if that's your heart, and you posture yourselves for encounters, ask him, Lord, I want an encounter with you. Present yourself alive to me in a fresh way. And any time you find yourself in a tough place where you're just struggling to believe, learn from the apostles, get alone with the Lord, and ask God for a fresh encounter. He's thrilled. Jesus is thrilled, the risen Lord, to walk through the locked door where you're hidden behind in fears and doubts and shame and encounter you. So that you can get up and start walking again, celebrating the risen Christ who's not just with you, but alive in you, desiring to live his life through you. You, the one who needed a fresh encounter. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.